I remember the first time I heard that song on the radio, and what a message, amen? And that's what we need. That's all we need. But boy, I tell you, in a week's time, we live in this fallen world. Can I remind y'all that this morning? This is a fallen world. Jesus is not going to come back and restore a kingdom here and fix everything that's going wrong. Jesus one day is going to return in there and just catch us up, grab us up out of all this mess. Amen? And just so many prayer requests. Now, I can just thinking this morning about so many things going on. Amen? And I don't want to leave anything out, but just continue to pray. Praise. Byron's doctor said, hey, we're going to quit scanning you and analyzing you on a regular basis. We're making some progress. The doctor doesn't know how to cure that cancer. God does, Byron. But so just praise God for that. Deborah still, bless her heart, continue to pray for her. She just continues to struggle and have a time. And they've identified that her damage is much worse than what they would call worse. And so only God can touch Ken. And continue to pray for Greg and see he recovers. I know he would like to be here today. I know his mobility is still not where he wants it to be. But Skippy told me he'd be fine this week. This week everything's going to be all right, you know. But pray for Greg and Skip's, as him and Jennifer help look after Dad. That's not always the easiest task, is it, Skip? So continue to look after them and take care of things. And Tony, good to have Tony sitting here recovering from heart surgery. And Susan, his dear friend, down visit again. Susan, good to have you with us today. And so many needs. And Corey, you just about broke my heart a minute ago. But Corey, I caught her eye as she was describing to me. They got broke into this week and just took so many things can't be replaced. And just it, I shared with them that we got broke into. How many of you ever had your house broke into? Let's just get a show of hands here. Okay, y'all not alone, okay? I remember I was at a funeral of all places, and Sandra was cleaning a house, and it wasn't even for work as she does sometimes, just helping somebody out. And they kicked the front door into the house, and you know they physically came in, but then it's like it takes something away, you know, it just does something that oh God. But and I didn't even plan to share this, but I share because I didn't realize this. But I'm just going to share it. I don't know about y'all, but there's been times in our life in the past when somebody might, if Sandra's home alone, somebody knock on the door. She didn't know who it was or what was going on. She might just kind of go upstairs or kind of just let them go away. When they broke in, they kicked their front door in. The deputy told me that what they would have done is if we'd have come to the door, they would have said they were lost or something, and then they would have, you know, gone on. And my heart dropped, Brother Marty. I think how many times has my dear wife, or the child especially, just kind of waited up in the nursery hoping whoever that was would go on because she didn't open the door to anybody and never thought about that again. So don't do that, okay? Amen? If you're ever scared what's going on, dial 911, you know. And I hope you already got a 911 helper in the house, by the way, you know, before the cops get there. You mixed emotions about that, but if you don't feel comfortable with that, give us a call. Get on the prayer chain. We'll come. Amen. But just remember that and pray for all these dentists that get the good report this week. They won't try something different, but dentists, we'll just keep trusting God. Amen. Let's pray. God, there's so many needs this morning, and I didn't go over the whole list. And I didn't call some out by name that I should have called out. But just in thinking about, for all of us, Lord, the reality of lives, we know that Satan is an adversary. He is that roaring lion. He is out destroying and stealing. And, Lord, I just pray this morning, Lord, for Corey and her dear family, that you give them a peace. You guide them. I pray for the people who broke in their home. Be thy will to be caught. Face consequences. Lord, believing they're lost and that in jail they might find Jesus. Lord, I pray, and I know what the odds are, but I know who you are, Lord, that be thy will, Lord, just pray they might be able to get some things back that can't be replaced. Lord, I pray for Greg and his injury. I pray for Mike as he's going to have part of that finger amputated this week. Be with him. Be with Skip and Jennifer and Morgan, all of them that help take care of Randall, help take care of him. I pray for Tony, Lord, just continue to heal. Lord, be with that, restore all that, touch the pain. Be with Brother Dennis, Lord. Lord, know the effects of treatment and thinking about new treatment. Lord, we just pray you touch him, Lord, and just your mercy and your grace. Lord, just continue to pray for Deborah and Byron. Just continue to do a work in their life. Pray you bring Deborah back to us soon. Lord, we miss her. We need her. Love her. Lord, and for that unspoken need, somebody's come into your house this morning and they're hurting. Something's happened. Something didn't happen that needed to. Might be something medically, emotionally, financially. Lord, I'm thankful that I really believe the old saying, Lord, that church is to be a hospital for sinners, for the hurting. It's not a hotel for saints that we come in and dress up and enjoy some music and have a message and we smile and go about our way. But Lord, most likely there's a hurting heart on every pew. And we just ask for your grace, your mercy, your love, for your wisdom, for your will. Lord, we just humbly right now, we want to give back to you our lives and our families and our possessions, our homes. Lord, just our lives and everything, Lord, asking that you might take it and do with it according to your will, that you would guide us, that you would help us, Lord, as only you can. And Lord, we love you. And Lord, I pray that you would truly open your word up to us this morning and give us the message through a living word that can speak to each one of us personally, beginning with me, and each one of us uniquely. And that happens so often, dear God, that people will tell me just a great truth they got out of the message, and I realize that it wasn't in my message at all. It was in your word and your spirit. We love you, Lord. We need you desperately. Help us with that next step forward. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Turn your Bibles back to 1 John chapter 1. We've kind of settled in on these 10 verses in 1 John 1 through 10. We're going to be here a while. Hadn't got out of verse 1 yet. We won't make it probably out of verse 1 today. There's so much power in these verses. As you find your place, I want you to stand with me. We're going to read these and we're going to ask God to continue to guide us. But just what a packed out passage that really speaks to where God wants to be able to speak to us. So in 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, let's read again. It says, that which was from the beginning, which we've heard, we've seen with our eyes, we've looked upon, our hands have handled, of the word of life. The life was manifest, that means revealed, and we've seen it, and we bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and it was manifest to us. That we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship and with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. That's our relationship with the Lord, personal relationship. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Pause for a second with me. Ask a question. You believe what God says? Do you really believe that when God says He's talking about a way that you can have a joy full, don't you believe that He really means that? That He's concerned about your joy? And for too often times, we get joyful about things that God's not in it at all. And that there's a real joy available here this morning. I believe that. In verse 5, he says, and then, this then is the message which we've heard of Him, talking about Jesus, and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light that He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. And Lord, I pray that you would help us this morning, that Lord, that our lives would be the exact opposite of the closing words of verse 10. Lord, that we might be able to say that, Lord, we truly desire and that we want your word to be in us. That your word through the Spirit of God, through the presence of the Spirit of God and Jesus living inside of us, Lord, that we might truly have your word in us and we might hear your word in all our thoughts and before we speak and in every action, dear God. And I pray that this word of life might be something that will give us that life that you want us to have and that we might go out into a lost and dying world with the word of life to share. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If you look at verse 1 there, we kind of were focusing last Sunday with that simple phrase, the word of life. But it's much more than a simple phrase because it literally is a descriptive term. It's describing who Jesus Christ is. We looked at the word, if you would, word. And we brought out several things it means. It means, obviously, that it is a word. It means a saying, an account, a speech, a thing. And we spent most of the time last Sunday really translating that into the fact that this is the word of life, is his word. And truly, it's his word, it's his sayings. It's his account of what's going on, not what we think or other people are saying. It's his speech coming to us. It's his thing we talked about. He's talking to everyone personally in this word. Now think about this morning. What the word of life means is that when you receive Jesus Christ, the word of life literally, as we find in John chapter 1, comes. It was made flesh. We're the temple of God. The word comes to live inside of us. And we'll look in the coming Sundays that when John here is describing seeing and hearing and feeling that we have the ability that that word of life's inside of us. That before we hear anything, we can hear him helping us what we hear. Before we see anything, that we can literally see the word of life to help guide us in what we're doing. So literally, he's talking to everyone in the world, to those that don't know Jesus. Now, don't misunderstand. Say, man, if he's really talking to everyone personally, why are so many people not hearing his word and doing what he says do? And the reason is, apart from Jesus Christ, the only thing that the Holy Spirit is saying and drawing is that you need Jesus. Very simple. It's an impossibility, biblically and practically speaking, for anyone to understand anything of the word of life apart from the word of life itself, Jesus Christ, a relationship, a saving relationship where he forgives, brings a new life, comes to live inside. So that's it. So for anyone that's lost, he's just saying, here I am. It's what I did. I want to forgive you. I want to save you. But if you've been saved in Jesus Christ, he's coming to live inside. What he wants to do is he wants this word of life to become everything to us. That we're thinking, our thoughts are based on the word of life. That everything that we say is based on the word of life. Now that'll catch you from this week, amen? Thinking a few words you said, a few thoughts we had. Everything we see is filtered on that word of life. And so this morning what I wanted to try to do in the short time we have is look just a little closer because, and I made the statement, Skip, I was visiting your dad on Friday and we were sitting there and I thank God for friendships, amen. I have been friends with Skip's dad, Greg, since I was 16 years old. He's a few years my elder, and so we're sitting there and I was recounting when Rick, I got all those messages, and I called Skip first, and then I called Rick, and my heart was just aching because I was in Atlanta and I was so far away, and just I was thinking about, man, what's going to happen. And so we're visiting, and I was visiting with Greg, and I was sitting there in the living room. I said, Greg, you know, I said, what I love to do all the time with you is to talk about, you know, friendship things. I like to talk about Jeeps and like to talk about the old good old days and the great times and all. And that's what I like to talk about. And I said, I was so thankful that immediately when I was heard what happened, before I even talked to Skip, I could remember the day that right here in this building, right back in my office when Greg bowed and gave his heart to Jesus Christ. And he testified to that when all that was going on, that he had a peace. I said, and we talked about that. And I was so thankful. That was my second thought, Brother Marty. I thought, you know, man, he's shot. He can die. But I knew that, I just knew and believed that he'd go to heaven because of the grace of Jesus Christ, his forgiveness. Not that Greg is good enough to go to heaven, because none of us are good enough to go to heaven. But I was so thankful to have that thought in my mind. But I looked at Greg and I said, Greg, I don't, you know, and you have to do this with friends, I think, especially. I said, when I'm in the pulpit and I make this statement, I'm not making it just to be preaching, but I believe it with every fiber of my being. And that's the statement. I said, Greg, you and I have the same greatest need, and that is a closer walk with Jesus Christ. And what that means is that I need, that we all need more of that word of life inside of us and controlling us and helping us and speaking to us and guiding us and all those things. And I went on to say, I said, because Greg, but you know, and it's sometimes hard. It's sometimes hard to talk to family and friends. Amen. And we were talking, and I said, because Greg, the problem is, I said, me and you know a lot of people who, if something happened to them, if they died, they'd not go to heaven. They'd not have that peace. And I said, so, and we began to talk, and I really prayed. I'm riding to Marshall that day. I'm saying, Lord, help me talk more about what we need to talk about. It's important to you, and not just stuff I enjoy. I told Greg, I said, because Greg, you're like me. I mean, we just love to talk and love, and if we get caught up, and that's all we do is just talk about that stuff that you know what I'm talking about. And I share that with you to take it a step further and say, would you join me in that prayer that we would let the word of life become so real and so important and just become that living word that it really is, that we would take in our family and our friendships the conversation about what's important. I was talking to Greg about Sunday school. He's not here, so I'm putting him on the spot. And I said, man, love to have you in Sunday school. He promised me, Skip. He said, well, I'm getting better, man. I'll be there. I'll be there. And I'd say the same thing if he's sitting here. I'd already planned it, you know. And he said, man, I tell you, I ain't never done that Sunday school thing. He said, I don't know much about the Bible. And I said, man, you're fine. I said, got the greatest men's class in the world. I said, the teacher says all the time, he don't know enough about the Bible to teach. All right. Amen. Man, and so, but see, to take, you see, I'm saying that. And I agree that Mommy's saying that, to take our conversations next step. Because for many people, it's not about serving him more, walking closer, and that's for all of us, but it's about knowing Jesus Christ. Every one of us has somebody in our family that's lost, and if they die today, or if Jesus comes back in the rapture, they're not going to heaven with us. And we desperately need to take the conversations, and the only way, listen, the only way that I do that and you do that is if this word of life becomes so real and alive in us that it's just overflowing, you know? Man, it's like being a grandpa. Man, it's an overflowing thing, little Adelaide. I tell you what, you know, yes, I'm mentioned every Sunday. Amy, y'all all right? Yeah. Because it's an overflowing thing. I do it all the time. I'm visiting someone, and they've even mentioned that seeing pictures online and how cute she is, and she is cute, amen, you know? She's the cutest little granddaughter I have, okay? But yet, I'll still say, hey, I've done it to some of y'all. I did to you, Tony. Hey, you want to see a picture, and you were afraid to ask. You were a little embarrassed to ask. Hey, let me show you a current picture. This was this morning. Got it this morning. It's overflowing. And so I've told you, when I wake up in the morning, though, this word of life is not overflowing, Corey. It's really not. I wish it was. I wish I could say I got to the point, if y'all just wait about 20 more years, or if y'all just spend more time praying in the Word, you'll wake up every morning, it'll flow out, you'll be soul winners, you'll have peace, you'll just walk, you can attack hell with a water pistol. But that's, I don't wake up that way. I've got to get in the Word, because Satan is about snatching every bit of it that he's putting me here every day. God's trying to put it in, and Satan's snatching it out. Circumstances, questions, get aggravated. That's how I testified to Corey a minute ago. I said, I remember getting house broke into, and I remember I was mad. I was aggravated. I'm thinking, put me a fence up, put me a gate up. I'm getting me that razor wire. I'm locking this thing down. All these words. I'm getting another gun, Elliot, you know. I'm mad. It took me the entire rest of the week to get up that Sunday and humbly preach in the Bible about lay up not for heaven treasures here on earth, but in heaven where moth and rust don't restore. That's where we're at. So there's this desperation. And so for this morning, I want us to look at, and this is the craziest thing really, and you're going to say, preacher, can you get out of verse 1 and finish this up? We need to move on to something else. I can't. Because we looked at that word there, and look at it with me again, the word, it's, if you got a good Bible, it's capitalized, it's picking on you, but it really is, it's Jesus, it's a capital W, it's the word, and I gave you those words, it's the word logos in the Bible. But I've said this often, the Bible, especially in the New Testament, written in the Greek language, the language is much, much richer, it's much deeper, it means so much more than our English language. There's several words for love. We have one word, love, and in the Bible, there's a phileo, a friendly love. There's an eros, like a husband and wife, a sexual love. There's an agape, which is a God love. There's all these meanings. So it's the same way with every word. And so we want to understand when God says the word of life, I want to understand what you'd understand literally and specifically and in depth what he means, so it can have the reality and the power. And that's how we got to this point, y'all. Remember talking about the power of God in our lives. I want the power of God in my life and your life. Amen. I want the power of God to be so on you and I and this church that people say, what in the world is going on? Not at Hamlin's Crossroads, but in the church, which is the people that they're just, the power of God is being evident in everything. And that comes from the word of life. So along with that word, as we looked at last Sunday, there's a root word that comes and gives the meaning where the word came from. And I want to give you several words. I want to give you really six words here. And I want, if you're taking notes, I want you to write these words down. You might just shout them in the edge of your Bible beside this verse. But these words, when God wants us to understand what went into making the word of Christ and this word of life, this is the basis, if you would, the foundation. These six words. To ask. To call. Calling. Describe, speak, and tell. So when you see that word of life, when you see that word, when you think about it, what it literally means is that Jesus is calling and Jesus is speaking. That takes on a whole different realm. And I challenge you, listen, if you're not in the habit of having your Bible with you, if you're not in the habit, especially of bringing your Bible to church, just think about it practically. You're not eating without a fork and knife or something, okay, amen? Maybe hamburger and fries, don't get technical on me, you know what I mean? You mean you're not going hunting. You're not going hunting without your weapon, right? There's no way, waste of time. Ladies, you're not going shopping without some cash or a credit card, amen? Bring your Bible to church. But more importantly, have your Bible in your vehicle. I used to keep a New Testament sitting on my desk at work. You'd be amazed. If you work in a desk environment, or if you don't work, if you at your toolbox or wherever your workstation is or whatever, you'd be amazed. Little New Testament. You know, oftentimes it didn't draw the people. And don't scare this, you know, saying, hey, so you got a Bible. Well, then tell me where God came from. You know what would draw? Usually somebody, they notice something like that, Susan, they say, my friend's been in an accident, and they're really hurt, and I just thought maybe you could pray for him. So literally, from now on, I pray God will burn into our souls that when we see that phrase, when we see that one word by itself, the word of life, it means that Jesus is calling and Jesus is speaking. When you think about the idea of Jesus calling and Jesus speaking, there's really three things that go along with that, okay? And there's three simple things. With the idea of him calling and the idea of him speaking is this, that when he's calling for us to follow. Follow is the key. That's what it's to follow him. And when he is speaking, what the the word that goes with speaking is really understanding. See, he's calling us to follow him, and then he's speaking to us. Jesus is speaking, saying, I want to give you understanding. And the third thing is simply, we're going to look at these kind of specific. The third thing is simply that what he's doing is, it's a statement I'm going to show you in Proverbs where he says, I call. I'm making a call. We're all familiar with that, right? We're really not, if we're away from someone, and just use the phone as an example, because isn't it crazy? Everybody's got a phone now, amen? So before you can speak to someone, before I can speak to someone, I've got to call them, amen? I got to place the call before we can start that interaction. And basically, I'm going to show you in a moment, in Proverbs, literally how the Bible tells us that this call from God, and then him speaking to us, is all around us every day, and we just miss it. We just simply miss it. But first, when we think about him calling, he uses the simple phrase in the Bible where he tells, he's calling his disciples, and he's calling them, and he says, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. Has he done that in your life? Now think about it for a moment. He says, follow me, and the way you follow him is it begins in salvation when you just humbly bow and you surrender, you acknowledge who he is and what he's done, you ask him to forgive you your sins, you repent and turn from your sins. That's salvation. But you begin following that way, but what he says in that phrase is, if you hear me calling, you'll give your life to me. And then I'm going to, as I'm speaking to you and I give you understanding, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. I'm going to make you passionate about sharing Jesus Christ with other people. And many of you can say now, you say, well, I followed him in salvation. I prayed and I've received Christ. I followed him today. You wouldn't have been at church. Most all of us, there's been a time in our life we would not have been in church. So we followed him here today. Trying to follow him maybe different ways. Like I comment about me and Greg, I say it firmly, we all have the same, a closer walk with him. So you're following him maybe a little different, closer than you have in the past. But ultimately, if we'll speak to him long enough, he's getting to that really hard part, and that's you become that fisher of men. Now notice he doesn't say, Brother Jim, catcher of men, okay? That's my problem. When I'm going to talk to someone who's lost and doesn't know Jesus Christ, I'm all worried about catching. I'm like, God, I want to say the right words, and man, you know, they can die and go to hell, and what's going to happen? And so all I'm thinking about is catching. And God, if I do something wrong, they're not going to get caught. That's not what he asked us to do. And I don't want to make light of it, Chris, but he says, I just want you to go fishing. I keep, I guess I'm going to pick on Greg, pick on Chris a little bit, but I picked on Chris one time, he's a big fisherman. I said, hey, Chris, you know, these senior eat out. So I said, we go to the fish camp. Why don't you cook us some fresh fish sometime? I was really joking. We was working here yesterday, and he said, hey, pray next time we go fishing, I catch a big enough fish, I might just try that thing. I thought it sounded good to me. But that's pressure now, right? And I just compounded it. That's not a fun fishing trip. But Jesus says, hey, listen, you can't catch, save, you can't do anything. I like the old reminder he gives me often. You ain't walking, you ain't going another step or doing anything without the breath of life, and I gave it to you. He says, you just follow me, and I'm going to turn you into a fisherman. Well, you're fish, and how do you fish? You just become so overflowing with the word of life that it's just flowing out of you. And just what he's done for you and what he's doing for you and what he did. And you're just kind of testifying what he's done. But before you can do that, you've got to notice he's doing something. Right? So I gotta move on. So he basically says to follow. He'll give us an understanding. And in the time we've got left, I want you to understand where the word of life is every day. Turn me to Proverbs chapter 8. It's one of my favorite passages of the Bible. I wasn't sure where the statement was. I've got great software. By one word, a phrase, I can find most anything. And just to confess, sometimes you're on the phone and you're asking me a question, something in the Bible, and you know, let me check on it, you know. I'm at the computer. You know, I don't know the Bible as well as sometimes it seems like I might know. My computer does. But I just look, I turn right back to it and without even doing any search, Proverbs 8. So before we begin looking at Proverbs 8, remember what we're saying. We're saying that this base of the word of Christ, that base of that word means this asking, this calling. He's calling out to us. He can make a phone call without a phone, amen. He can speak to our hearts anytime, day or night. And all of a sudden we have Proverbs 8 here in the Old Testament, and he paints a picture that I love. Let me read it first. He says, "Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way, in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call." See, there's that phrase, I call. That's what the word meant there in John 1:1. "And my voice is of the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom. Ye fools, be of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination of my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing far to perverse." Go back to verse 1. Here's the picture. So picture it with me. What he's saying here in Proverbs 8, if you want the word of life to become everything to you, you need to understand that he's put it everywhere you go. Okay, look at it with me. He says that wisdom, which is his word, which is that word of life, is crying out. And understanding put forth her voice. Hilton grabbed Adelaide last night that we've been off with the seniors. We're coming back. We got that great text that you want to get. You know, Adelaide's up, doing good. Come stop by. We stopped in. Hilton immediately got her. And man, she began to cry out. Like I thought Hilton had pinched her or something. I don't know. But something was going on. She weren't feeling good. I mean, she was crying out. Hey, we heard it. Hilton's scrambling. Brooke's scrambling. Sandra's scrambling. Man, something's happening when the cry comes. That's what God wants the word of life to be in. Get our attention. So what he says is, first one, verse 2. She, the wisdom, the word of life, standeth in the top of high places. We wake up in the morning, and there from heaven, the very realm of heaven, the word of Christ is waiting. Look at you personally. Has got a word of life for your life that day. Up in heaven. It covers, you know, where in the world you're at. What's going on? Nothing can block it. It's ready. It's available. But it takes a step further. It says, by the way, in the places of the paths. What's your way in the morning? The way from the bed into your in the bedroom, into the bathroom, the way in the path into the kitchen, the path out to the car truck, the way that you're going to drive to work. God is saying, my living word, the word of life, is all around you. It's waiting to speak to you. You'll be amazed the more, if you make it a habit in the morning to grab your Bible or grab the app on your phone or whatever you want to look at the Bible, and you let that word of life begin to come in. I mean, he can show, that word of life can come alive in the mirror, in the bathroom speaking to you. You can begin to see, you'll walk in the kitchen and something you've never, before you've been half asleep and try and get to work, and all of a sudden a piece of food, some item. I mean, that's what the Bible says. Not the priest says, it's alive. Hey, everything was created by him, for him, and it's everywhere, and we miss it all the time. Amen. It goes on. Look what it says. It tells us about this wisdom, this word of life. It says, she crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city. Picture the next time you're riding from home. You're heading to town. You're going to work. You're entering in, and God is saying, I literally, my word of life, it's there and present. It's calling out to you. And remember I said, when Jesus is inside of you, the word's inside of you, he said, listen, you're heading into town. I got something to say to you along this way. Listen to me on this road. And next time you're riding into Monroe or Marshall, whatever town you go into, Dave, you hit towns we never think about hitting. He said, as you enter in, he said, I got a word for you in this town today. I got a word for you at work today. He says, and I love the end of verse 3, and he says, at the coming in at the doors. Literally what God is saying, if you're coming in this door to church or that door there or the front door up there, you're entering the door of work. You're coming back home at night and you're entering the door of your house. Oh, don't miss this, y'all. The Bible is saying that the word of life, it's as if it's literally, even though it's there, And he's got a word for you. It'd do good. Man, let me just help y'all. It'd do good sometimes that before we walked in the door of our home without making sure that the word of life is the word we're getting ready to share, that we not enter that door, we stay out there by the door. That'd bless some wives' heart, wouldn't it? Saw you drive up. Where are they at? And they go and they look out by the door and open it up, and there you are with your Bible. What in the world are you doing? I remember the Bible said that there's a word of life waiting at the door. All I had was a bunch of lousy words from work, from a boss, from a customer, from somebody that called me, from myself, and I'm trying to get a whole letter of a word of life before I come into my family. I'm telling y'all, every door. It worked good for church, amen? But I get you, by Jim, that gets attention, wouldn't it? You drive up to work, you're coming in just a little late. And there's three people standing outside the door looking in the Bible. See, God says this word, it's everywhere. He says that, and in verse 4, he says, I call. I call. Now, some of y'all may have this figured out better than I have, and I know I'm out of time. But there's some of you, you don't answer your phone. You don't. I guess it's a protective thing. It's a habit thing. Maybe I need to join you. I'm still that old school. If I can, and my phone rings, I'm going to answer it. Some of you still do that. I think it's a pretty neat thing. You know? But the spiritual thing is, God is saying this. Verse 4, he says, I'm calling. And we didn't even get today, and maybe we'll get in later. He says, by understanding. Back to John, 1 John 1, those first, he says, joy. I'm calling. I was standing at the door when you left this morning. You was riding into town, and I was calling you. You were having a terrible day at work. You're having problems with the child, with your mom or dad you're taking care of. You just were depressed. You're just angry. And, man, I called. I wanted to get your attention, especially before you came back in the house. Because you felt a little better in that you shared all those words that you'd heard all day with your family. Or maybe you go home to an empty home and I was at the door. Because Satan was waiting in the house and he had a word of destruction for you. And I was at the door and I was calling you. That path when you walk into the bed and you're just thinking, man, I hope I can go to sleep to escape from all that's going on, but I know I might never be able to sleep. But he said, on that path to bed, I was calling you. I was calling you. Lord willing, we'll look next Sunday where Jesus is looking over Jerusalem. It says he was moved with compassion. I close with this, y'all. Don't miss this, y'all. It says he looked over Jerusalem. He was moved with compassion. That's what this is. The word of life is about. He's looking at every one of our lives, and he's seeing what's going on. He says, it just moves me, Sherry, to compassion to see what they're dealing with. And I'm calling. I'm calling. I've got a word. That's what he's got for you. But the Bible says he knocks on your heart's door. That's how he calls. He says, calling. Got a word for you. Would you bow with me? For somebody this morning, there's several of you that he's knocking on your heart's door. He's knocking this morning. No word of life in you. You don't know Jesus. You're a good person. Good man, woman, boy, child. You're good. You're not a bad person. But he's knocking. He says, I want to come in to your life. I got a word of forgiveness, salvation, word of hope, word of heaven. I want to save you today. For everybody else, I'm calling you. I want you to follow me. I want you to fish. I want to speak to you. I want to give you understanding about what's going on. It's invitation time. Altar's open. I'm calling you. I want to speak to you a moment at the altar about some sin, about some hurt. Got a word for you. Much better word than the preacher's had all morning. I'm calling. Will you answer him? But not just during this invitation, but on the path, at the door, entering in. Lord, we give you this time. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord willing, tonight we're going to look in Scripture. We were looking last Sunday about the disciples. We're going to look like what it looks like when the word of life really, man, grabs a hold of you. We're going to look at that tonight, Lord willing. And I close that. Many of you have asked what Brother Bill say. He's back on the road preaching this month, so praise God for that. He used to have a message on his phone, if he still has it. You call sometimes, and he'd say, hey, you got Brother Bill Say here. Glad you called. But I'm most likely having a little conversation with God right now. And when I finish up with talking to God, I'll give you a call right back. Amen? I think we could all do that a little more. But we grab that phone, don't we? But have a little more quick to grab his call. Amen? Marty, you close us in prayer.